Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
If you change your mind, take a chance. I'm the first in line. Take a chance. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go, when you're feeling down.
5,700 employees come to work each and every day, making certain that they're all pulling the same way. We push uphill up in Escambia County. It is an uphill battle. 78% of our students are economically disadvantaged, and that's not by my statistics, that's by the Florida Department of Education. So there is an uphill battle.
Very interesting. Yesterday, we had the Chamber of Commerce, Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce, had an education forum. You know, they quarterly they do these different things: the military, business, education. I don't attend all of them. I don't know if one's maybe an art and dance festival. Just kidding. But they, you know, I go to the ones that look the most interesting to me. And I went to this one yesterday, and it was interesting because you had, I mean, talk about the people for education. You had Karen Barber, superintendent of Santa Rosa County Schools; Keith Leonard, superintendent of Escambia County Schools. You had a lady there who was representing Columbia Southern University, which I, frankly, I'll just be honest, I'd never heard of before, even though my wife's like, don't we drive past that when we go biking in Baldwin County? Isn't it right there on the Gulf Beach Expressway? I'm like, yeah, apparently. But I had not heard of it before. And then you had Manny Diaz, UWF president and interim president, and Ed Meadows, a PSC president. So you really had like all the people for education. And they were talking about all different kinds of things. And I just thought it was fascinating listening to Keith Leonard talk about the district. And that number, and not the 5,700 employees, 78% of Escambia students come from economically disadvantaged households. I mean, just that's a let it sink in kind of thing. And, you know, we all know it's a high number. But, man, that's almost 4 in 5. You know, when you hear about how all these schools have 100% free lunches because they're way over the threshold of what it needs to be, where it's just easier to have it all be free instead of, you know, bothering to try to collect money from the 15% of the kids who can actually afford it. I mean, that's just a crazy number. And there were some other numbers that came out yesterday that were, you know, similarly stunning. This one happens to be a good number. Well, I mean, it's a bad number, but it's an improving number, which means it's a good number, right? You know, acceleration counts for something, and in this case, we're improving.
48% of our students now are coming to kindergarten ready to learn, which is a big improvement. I believe this year it may actually surpass the 50% readiness level. And what I want to celebrate is not a readiness.
I mean, that's good. The idea that it would get over 50%, the number of students coming to kindergarten ready for kindergarten. Oh, my God. That means that half aren't, which, again, it's been this way for a long time. This is, you know, it's not news, but when you hear, you know, like Quint Studer talk about early childhood education, when you hear people talk about the need for having something like at least the goal of the Escambia Children's Trust, right, to get programs in place to help prepare kids for, you know, the front end of school and maintain them through school. I mean, you know, these numbers are significant. And then there was one, he was also talking about the students who have, I'll play this one for, I want to tell you in advance, it's not quite as bad as he said, but it's still pretty bad.
If you want to be an adult mentor in our school district, we welcome you.
If you want to be an adult mentor, we'll take you. There's all kinds of ways to do that. That's what he's saying. I know it's hard to hear. It was at the Garden Inn on the Hilton on 9th Avenue, and the sound system in their auditorium is, what's the word I want? Well, it aspires to be terrible. if it could ever get good enough to just be terrible. I did everything I could to find to make good audio out of it. We have a weird thing, John. Oh, by the way, welcome back, John. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry that you have been ill. So
oh,
badly,
it's been
and I could tell. I called you on the phone this morning. I'm like, "You coming in?" He's like, "Yeah, you're already." And I'm like, "You sound terrible." Like, "I know." So anyway, had the flu, and you know,
oh, I know.
I'm glad you're back, but I'm sorry you went through all that. No kissing this morning.
Okay.
So
if you and
no. Anyway, so we have a thing, and this is why I wanted to ask you. We seem to be pathologically incapable of producing an auditorium with good sound in Pensacola.
Oh, you are so right. And it blows my mind, too, because I'm like, hey, just give me 5 minutes.
You can do it. You know how to
you
do this.
You can do it.
I like the Corinne Jones Sanders Beach, mm-hmm. the community center there. Oh, my God. It's the worst. I dread when there's events there. I'm like, oh, I got to figure out a way to get the recording off of this. It's just, you know, I remember when Tim Kinsler gave his speech about education there several years ago. And I knew I couldn't do any of the just recorded in the room kind of thing, so I put a mic on his body. Like, that was the only way to solve
that's
the problem.
Good. I like that.
That's it. Well, they had 5 speakers with a pass the mic yesterday. Oh. So, I mean, there's no solving it. You know, unless I like stood there on the floor and right in front of them, it just, there's no way to. Anyway, so the first part of his comment, I know it's hard to hear, I'm sorry, was that they're always looking for mentors, people to come help the kids in the school system.
Because I think the last time I looked at this particular statistic, 68% of our students have one parent at home. So any positive adult role model in their life is critical.
68% of the students in Escambia County have a single parent at home, not two parents at home. And I mean, I about cried when he said that. I just, 2/3 of the students come from single-parent families? Because single-parent families are unequivocally dangerous for kids in terms of their development, growth, their emotional and psychological needs. Don't start with me about how a single-parent can be good. I was raised by a single mom. I get it. But it's not as good, period. I mean, just period. Now, I followed up because I thought that number seemed impossibly high. Because I'm thinking, you're telling me that like 3 kids coming from a single parent family? So I followed up, and they ran a report, and he said, "No, that number is wrong. It's 46%. So it's actually 46%. So Keith was very apologetic, and he felt terrible about having said the wrong number. Which, of course, you know, everybody who cares about information cares when they say it wrong. But still, 46%. 46% is ridiculously high for the number of students who are coming from, you know, we know 78% coming from economically disadvantaged. And I asked him, I said, is that number? He's, oh, yeah, no, that's actually right. So 4 in 5 come from an economically disadvantaged household. 1 in 2 comes from a single parent family, almost 1 in 2. That's why do we have trouble in Escambia County? I mean, those two things alone are significant to explain it. Also, another just interesting number that came out of this that I did not know. This is a good number, okay? But it's still a staggering number to me. Ed Meadows, the president of PSC. And look, Ed's kind of a soft speaker to begin with. So I'm going to play this out of, you know, naive optimism that you're going to be able to understand it. But I'll play it anyway, and I'll tell you what he said.
Over 50% of our students are first-generation college students. A little bit over half of our students enrolled are there for workforce training.
50%, a little over half are there for workforce training at PSC. Half the students are first-time college students in their families. That's great. I mean, that's great. It's also wild to me. There was a time in this country, you know, 50s, 60s, when, you know, most people their families hadn't gone to college. The GI Bill came along and dramatically changed some of those numbers. But the idea that half the students at PSC, but again, kind of given everything else, it's not that surprising. It's great. I mean, it means PSC is really serving a need. It means we're really trying to improve our community. I mean, if half the people in their whole family, they're the first one to go to college, but also half of the people, their family, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of dual-edged sword there. 437-1620. He also, Keith, made a comment about, well, what we do. I mean, he didn't name us or anything, but, you know, he was talking about, you know, it was kind of funny. He's like, when you open up the newspaper, well, when you used to open the newspaper, when you click on, you know, nowadays. But talking about the sort of news coverage around education in not just our area, but in general.
Or you watch the news, there's going to be negativity. And there's going to be a lot of negativity about anything that may occur in one of your school districts. Whether it be Santa Rosa County, that does happen. There's negativity in press, or in Escambia County.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because he turned to Karen Barber at that point, and he's kind of, because Santa Rosa County has been in the very negative category for the last week or two with the four different stories of various kinds of sexual misconduct allegations involving schools, students, employees, you know, right? So, you know, that's what he was kind of getting at, is that there's negative press around education.
One of the big opportunities we have as a community is to make certain that we're telling the positive news, that we are telling the good news, that we refuse to listen to the negativity. Are there negative things that happen? Yes. But we have to be positive. We have to be united for every student to succeed.
And which is kind of their mission statement, or their you know, motto. True and also not true. I mean, like, take the example of the, you know, four recent stories. Well, that's out of a population in Santa Rosa County of, I'm making up a number, but I'm sure I'm in the right vicinity, 20, 24,000 students, because it's like 36,000 in Escambia and by population ratio. You know, 4 out of 24,000 is a really pretty low number. And same in Escambia. When there's a bad story, the bad story catches your attention, just like, you know, the two planes that almost collided at the airport catches your attention, you know, when 23 other thousand airplanes landed and took off safely that day. That's the nature of news. We fixate on the things that are, you know, the exception to the rule. That being said, often the bad things indicate a pattern, a problem to be solved, or you still have to acknowledge the bad things, which he did. And so, you know, yes, in one sense, the superintendent needs to be the cheerleader, you know, and he's definitely right that putting out the good stuff is, you know, an important part of that as well. And that's why I appreciate, like, Karen Barber was there, and she was talking about some of the stuff that they do with technology. Some of the questions around AI and technology were very interesting. I'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. But one of the questions had to do with how you use technology to accomplish education, and I had known this, but I had forgotten it, that in Santa Rosa County, very heavy use of remote satellite learning, where kind of like, you know, you have a church with a pastor and then four other campuses are watching the same sermon at the same time. They do that with classroom learning because not that they don't have enough teachers, but that they don't have the right teacher to do, for example, AP or honors coursework.
Including Global Business Solutions. About 15 years ago, we started using their technology in our classrooms to teach students from one location to another cybersecurity. And our students earn industry certification, middle school, high school, and then our post-secondary students. We've taken that same technology, installed it in classrooms throughout our school district, and expanded the opportunities, not just with cybersecurity, but now we teach geometry honors from one side of our county to the other. And that teacher is in those classrooms, that highly effective teacher, 5 days a week. For example, this geometry honors class, we have a great teacher at one of our middle schools. He broadcasts into five other middle schools last year. Their pass rate on the geometry honors test was 100%. When kids can take that at the middle school, guess what? It frees up another period when they get to high school, so then we can take more advanced courses.
Yeah, that's a fantastic use of technology, especially when you're short on highly qualified teachers for advanced studies like, you know, honors geometry. Same for honors chemistry.
Chemistry honors is another one. We had students at our rural high schools. We didn't have a chemistry honors certified teacher, but we did at Milton High School. We broadcast chemistry honors up to Jay High School and Central School, and those students were able to get those opportunities. So the hardware and using it creatively can really, really expand the opportunities.
Yeah, and again, that's something that they've done extraordinarily well. I also I just thought it was very interesting when we got down toward the end. There was a question about, you know, where is education going? What's their picture of the future? And, you know, both Keith and Karen were, you know, very optimistic, but they were, I thought, had a pretty good assessment of the challenge that was coming.
This will need to be our last question. What do you foresee the future of public education?
I see a very bright future. And for me personally, there's two reasons for that. And one of them's name is Rose Elizabeth Ann Tice, and the other one is Melly Claire Tice. Those are my two grandchildren. And for Madison, my daughter back there, it's mine and your mom's grandchildren. But yeah, I see a very bright future. I do believe this, whether you are in the Santa Rosa County School District or the Escambia County School District, PSC or UWL, you're going to have to do what makes you appealing to the individual that's going to be at either at your school or at your institution.
Yeah, and they both talked about how they've got to stay relevant. In fact, that was kind of a theme towards the end of the importance of staying relevant as society changes, businesses change, AI, which, like I said, I'll talk about that a little bit later, as AI affects everything surrounding our society, and not just AI, because that's the now challenge, but what's the next thing that's going to be coming in 5 years, and trying to pay attention and be prepared for that, because, you know, if you teach a bunch of students to do jobs that are replaced by technology, then what was the point of doing what you did? And so thinking ahead and being ahead on these kinds of things is vital. So very interesting, and it was good to see all these businesses and, you know, a packed house, sold out crowd at the Hilton Garden Inn yesterday for the Chamber of Commerce Education Luncheon yesterday. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about making a deal, real estate deal, selling a home, buying a home, acquiring a home, you know, a lot of times, you know, people think, well, okay, I'm doing okay, and I don't really want to move, you know, like to the beach or from the beach or to the country or, you know, up or down in size or different neighborhood or whatever. But I would like to buy a, you know, rental property. Is now a good time to do that? Is the market right? Is the interest rate right? Is it profitable to do that? You know, is it profitable now? Is it long-term profitable? Does it need to be a vacation rental? Does it need to be a long-term rental? Well, you know, ask Christina Leavenworth. She talks about this stuff all the time. She thinks about this stuff all the time. And, you know, I remember her talking about this recently where she was saying that, you know, people want to get into the, you know, owning property kind of market. One of the challenges had to do with the fact that people who already own these properties have them at very low interest rates. And so persuading them, basically, with your dollars that it makes sense to sell their home. And if they're ever going to do a replacement, they're going to have to do it at a higher interest rate. You know, they might be breaking even or maybe making money, but you might not be able to. So you've got to persuade them, and your deal isn't going to be as good as theirs is. So it's a challenge. Well, okay. So is it a good idea or not? I don't know. Ask her. She obviously knows this stuff really well. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Let me tell you, that sucks big eggs.
Are you much of a Yes fan, John?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Did you get it?
Yeah, thank you. I think Big Generator didn't get as much acclaim, you know, as much as 912. I love Big Generator. I think it's a great album, and that's one of my favorite Yes songs ever. I like the newer Yes, newer 40 years ago, as opposed to, like, the classic drug-induced Yes, you know,
right.
The old-style stuff. Anyway, 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens is back with us. Good to have you back, John. David Thank Wayne you. Is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen, and welcome back, John. The U.S. halting employment visas for commercial truck drivers. It's part of a Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy's push to enforce English proficiency standards on truck drivers. That announcement was made yesterday. President Trump handed out burgers and pizza to federal officers in Washington, D.C. yesterday. He made a visit to the U.S. Park Police facility. The president praised the agents as incredible and promised that Washington, D.C. will be maxed out in terms of beauty within a year. There's about 2,000 National Guard troops currently patrolling the city. Eric Menendez has been denied patrol. California parole officials issued that decision Thursday after a several hours long hearing at a correctional facility in San Diego. 3 months ago, Eric and his older brother Lyle were resentenced to 50 years to life for the 1989 murders of their parents. Lyle's parole hearing is set for today.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Sad news yesterday. Somebody passed away, okay, and it was Jim Dobson. Dr. James Dobson passed away at the age of 89 yesterday. So for those of you who don't know who he is, he was arguably the most influential evangelical thought leader in the last century. I mean, it pretty much, I think you'd have to say Billy Graham and James Dobson in that order. Somebody who influenced, founder of Focus on the Family. When you think about the things that were done by evangelicals in the, latter half of the 21st century or 20th century, he was at the core of it, from teaching people how to parent and, talking about social issues. When you think about cultural conservatism, he was the voice, and Focus on the Family was the anchor station or the anchor program, so to speak, on, every religious radio program, every religious radio station in the country. John, fair?
Yes, very.
And then, of course, started in California, but then moved to Colorado Springs, where they had their operation eventually. And a lot of people refer to it as Jerusalem West. But, yeah, great work that he did for almost 90 years.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. California Governor Gavin Newsom signs a bill into law that, if passed by voters in November, will most likely change congressional maps.
A bill that will put the maps in front of the voters. We'll be the first state in U.S. history to, in the most democratic way, submit to the people of our state.
Fox's Matt Finn. Republicans say Democratic legislators have not revealed exactly who drew the new lines. California has a Citizens Redistricting Committee tasked with drawing the state's congressional maps independent from politicians. But California Democrats proposed an amendment to the Constitution to go around the commission.
President Trump delivering food to law enforcement in D.C. while delivering this message.
We're not playing games. We're going to make it safe.
And President on Truth Social overnight saying Washington, D.C. is safe again. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 79 degrees here in Pensacola. State Senator Joe Gruter is expected to be named Republican National Committee Chair today. Tony Figueroa from the Miami Young Republicans says that it's exciting to have somebody from his area leading at a national level.
Having somebody like Senator Gruter's take that to Washington and replicate that in battleground states and in other states where we can introduce the conservative message, I think it's a great thing for the party.
And Gruter's is running unopposed for that seat, which is being given up by current chair Michael Whatley, who plans to run for the U.S. Senate. Well, high demand, low wages, and employee turnover are being blamed for a huge wait list in the Early Learning School Readiness Program. There's over 400 kids in Escambia County waiting to get into the Early Learning
Our
Program.
Our state legislature, for reasons that are still unfathomable to me, decided to give us less money to do the work. Even though the work has increased, the rates that we have to pay mandatorily our providers to do the work has increased. We've seen a 70% increase in our basic rates per child per day in the last 7 years.
And Bruce Watson talked to Channel 3. He's the director of the Escambia County Early Learning Program. He says a lot of their newer employees are only paid minimum wage, which is well below federal poverty standards. Santa Rosa County reports a similar wait list issues difficulty finding employees. Well, Hurricane Erin has spared Florida's coast. Officials in Volusia County bracing for the storm's impact yesterday, but they say no property damage was reported. A county spokesman tells Spectrum 13 that a berm in Daytona Beach that was recently made performed as intended. New dune vegetation held up well. The storm did impact turtles, though. As they say, about 50 sea turtle nests in that area were destroyed. The company that hired a driver involved in a deadly truck crash in St. Lucie County could face consequences. Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday went on Fox News to discuss the crash on the Florida Turnpike. An illegal immigrant driving a tractor trailer made an illegal U-turn and caused a crash that killed three people. The governor says Florida will go after the company that employed that driver. The governor didn't offer any details on what punishment the company could face. An Alachua County teacher under investigation for how she allegedly treated an ROTC student. Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer sent a letter yesterday to the superintendent and the school board. The letter was sent after a parent complained to the board that her son's teacher at Gainesville High School called him a Nazi-file because of his interest in World War II and participation in the ROTC. The parent says the teacher also nominated the boy as most likely to become a dictator due to his conservative values. Uthmeyer says if the woman's story is true, the teacher should be immediately terminated and never allowed to teach again in Florida. It's 5:35. Again, right now, we've got 76 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Our next news is at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Elon Musk's ex has reached a tentative settlement with former employees of the company, then known as Twitter, who had sued for $500 million in severance pay. The terms of the settlement were not disclosed. The proposed class action lawsuit by former Twitter employees Courtney McMillan and Ronald Cooper said the company failed to pay them and other fired workers severance they were owed. Apple is raising the price of a subscription to its Apple TV Plus streaming service for U.S. customers. The technology giant said an Apple TV Plus subscription will now cost $12.99 a month. That's up from $9.99. The annual cost for Apple TV Plus will remain at $99.99. The new pricing takes effect for new subscribers on August 21st. ChatGPT parent OpenAI will open its first India office in New Delhi later this year. India is a critical market for ChatGPT, where it launched its cheapest yet monthly plan at $4.60 just this week. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority and happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You're invited to bring a blanket, a lawn chair, and relax and watch the sunset and enjoy your favorite bands. This week, it's Shenanigans. They're not just a band, it's an experience. It's definitely not a show you just go to, it's a show you participate in. So don't miss Shenanigans this Tuesday night at 7 at Bands on the Beach. You'll be dancing and singing along. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Blackley throws it up near sideline towards the end. Yeah! Four-man rush, Mendoza stepping up, he goes down!
House call! Touchdown, Florida State! Touchdown, FSU!
Florida State football opens the 2025 season on August 30th by hosting Alabama in an early season ACC-SEC matchup.
FSU versus Alabama, Saturday at 12:30 p.m. on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 538 News Radio, 539 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Happy Friday. You made it. Almost. You got one more day to work, for, most likely. Yesterday we had a chance to talk to Pensacola Police Department spokesman, Public Information Officer Mike Wood. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So the only big story that I know about, you correct me if there's been another one, but was you guys had wanted this, I guess, teenager wanted for, you know, harassing women downtown, but... I mean, there was one particularly scary incident, right?
Yeah, well, at the time, we didn't know he was a teenager. This individual was seen on video following a female and rather closely in the downtown area. And then he saw another one, and he pivoted and started following her and ended up getting in her car and asking her to take him to another location. And she did the what she should have done was jump out of the car and go for help. And at that point, the individual left the vehicle also. So downtown Pensacola, I get asked about this often, you know, would you let your teens go downtown and that sort of thing? And the answer is absolutely 100% yes. It is very safe down there. Things are going to happen anywhere and everywhere. But there's a lot of surveillance video down there. And this is one of the reasons that we saw what we saw. And then the other part of this was when you combine the police, the news media, and the citizens, they all three came together to get this individual arrested very quickly.
So where was it? I mean, was it downtown, like on a street? Was it in a parking garage? Where did this get in the car thing happen? Because that's just so crazy to me that you go to get in your car and somebody else gets in the other side, right? It's, I mean, wild, but.
Yeah, it was outside. It was outside on the street. It wasn't okay. In a parking garage. But the thing about that is when you use your fob to get in a car, get in and immediately lock your doors. Most vehicles now won't lock until you start it and put it in drive. So it's something that you always want to do. And the biggest thing, Andrew, is especially for the young ladies out there, is to be aware of your surroundings. Make eye contact with people who are walking near you and take those earbuds out so you can hear.
Oh, amen to all of that. Absolutely amen to all that. So he was like trail one, turn and trail another, and just, and the theory was trying to find a victim or a whatever, right? Because do we know exactly what he was intending other than trying to get a ride?
Well, we don't know exactly what it was, but from what it looked like, he was just intending on making contact with a female victim, and he didn't care who. So
yeah.
we don't know where it would have gone from there, and thank God we don't know. But the best part about it is that he's off the street.
Yeah, thank goodness. And as you say, good collaboration between PPD getting the information out, the surveillance that was available, and then also, you know, people posting and talking about it and sharing it, and that's why you wound up finding him. That's great. Hey, you know, I had wanted to ask you, we talked extensively about this yesterday, this woman who, it's still hilarious to me.
I'm an AG.
This woman who was getting trespassed away from a restaurant and was drunk and was claiming to be an AG and telling the police officer to turn off his body camera because they have to turn it off. And, you know, I particularly love the cop's response.
I'm an AG.
Good for you. I don't give a Let's go.
Good for you. So you've seen this video, and I wanted to ask you, because, you know, you're an actual cop, and I just play one on the radio. Did you see anything in this video that concerned you? Did you see the cops being, I don't know, too aggressive, too restrained, just right, like a Goldilocks? What did you see?
A Goldilocks? I mean, this look, every officer is going to face this at some point about who this person supposedly is, whether what their job is, who they are in the community. We're all going to hear that. And at that point, it doesn't matter. When you're acting up like she was and her friend was, they were being asked to leave a restaurant and they wouldn't. All you've got to do is leave. and the police won't even get called. And when we do show up, all you have to do is leave. We're always going to give you the opportunity to leave. And when you don't and you start throwing names and who you are and things like that, that is going to work against you every time. So, we just don't care. We've got a job to do. And if you're going to act up like that, then you're forcing our hand. You're forcing us to do the job. And those ladies were taken into custody because they just simply wouldn't leave.
It doesn't
make sense to me.
Yeah, they had a dozen off-ramps, and they just couldn't bring themselves to take any of them. And so eventually they have to get, you know, handcuffed and thrown in the back of the cruiser, which was, I thought, the right response at that point. There was a part of that video that she was so obsessed with the idea that just by requesting it, she could make the cop turn off his body camera video. True, not true?
Not true. There's nobody's going to tell us to turn the body cam off. That's not going to happen.
And the only time...
It's policy.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's policy, and the officer could face disciplinary action if he did do that. So, yeah, that's not going to happen. They're not going to turn off. The officer knows when he can and cannot turn that thing off. And the only other exception to that is if the battery dies or if they're in a place where, tactical information is being discussed or there's something very sensitive that would be on camera.
And my understanding is also sometimes when you're in like situations where there might be minors or medical things that it might also be turned off in those situations. Is that right?
Well, most of the time they're probably going to keep that rolling, but that's information that will never be released.
Okay, so it's going to be redacted out. If it does get recorded, it's redacted out for sure.
Right.
Okay, very good. I will say the one other part of that conversation that I always think of how cops react, and you guys have to put up with an awful lot, and that's your job. I mean, your job is to put up with an awful lot, but I'm always amazed at how police can be so unresponsive to things like when she says...
Hey, you're going to regret this.
Yeah.
You're going to regret it. Dominique.
I love that part because she gets the door, closed on her halfway through saying Najee, but you're going to regret this. You're going to regret this. Because what, threatening a police officer is going to improve your odds of getting out of here safely?
Yeah, that's, again, most of the time, the way people act and what they say is working against them. It's not helping out at all. And it's just making their case worse when it goes to court. By that time, obviously, they've sobered up and had time to think about it. And they know a judge and a jury and their bosses, in this case,
right,
are going to see that video. And it's going to do nothing but work against them. So that's why, we don't ever have a problem with somebody taking their phone out and using the video feature on us to record everything because we're doing it ourselves.
We always like to end on a cop myth or a did you know. I've got one for you this week. We've all seen this a bajillion times, and anytime there's an action movie, basically, and the cops are involved, somebody makes a phone call, the line is being tapped or traced, or they make it to the police headquarters, and something along the lines of, it's been 23 seconds, and they hang up. Oh, it was too fast. I didn't get a trace because, the bad guys always know exactly what the technological parameters are. Is there such a thing as it was too fast for you to get a trace? Is it just different depending on the type of call? What's your ability? Because I know, if you make a 911 call, the cops are coming to your house because there might be a bad thing happen. So it's pretty quick to identify some of these things, certainly with the landline. So you tell me, what are the kind of the parameters here?
Yeah, sure would have worked out better for the bad guy if he would have, he knows he's got to hang up before 24 seconds. Yeah, that's totally false. So it depends on a few factors. It depends on whether we had that line, quote, tapped in the first place, whether, we've already got a warrant, we've already got an agreement with the carrier. But it still matters on what they're using. Is it a cell phone, a satellite phone, a landline? There's a lot of factors in how long it takes. So it can go from a matter of seconds or minutes to just very few seconds to find out where that individual is. So it's to give you a straight answer, I can't do because there's a lot of factors there.
But you do have it doesn't take long. If somebody's in peril, it doesn't take very long. You can find them through whatever mechanism is available. But bad guys who are counting on the 24-second cutoff or whatever made-up invented number, where does it come from? Was there ever a time where there was some, police industry standard of it being a certain amount of time?
Look, all I can figure on that question is that the movie making people, the directors, the producers, they did not have an officer on set when they were filming this or when they were writing it. It's just, I don't know where it came from or how that happened, but Yeah, it's that's a good question. I don't have an answer.
And like so many other things, whenever we're watching cop movies, it's how did they come up with that? Well, obviously they don't have any officers consulting them. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for indulging my questions. I appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, they make me nervous, but I look forward to it. Thank you.
You bet. If I ever stop making him nervous, I'm not doing my job properly. That's so funny. I make him nervous. Hey, if you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. And, you know, I know a lot of times you think about the going to a car place and you like prepare for battle. You know, you feel like you're going to see the enemy in their own home. And, you know, you're going to try to pry some car out of them without getting taken advantage of. And you got to, you know, just adversarial is kind of the picture of it. And I get that. I really do, because I know a lot of times it feels like that. At Frontier, it doesn't have to feel like that. Think of them as your allies, as your, I don't know, car buying guidance counselors, you know, people who really know the industry. They sell thousands and thousands of cars every year. And you can ask them questions like, you know, what are people loving? What are they not loving? What are they telling you that they're not telling, you know, Consumer Reports? You know, what do they like and dislike about these cars? And they'll tell you. Because they've seen a lot of things. They've seen a lot of people, and they talk to them, and they, you know, that's their business, is to understand people and help them find that ideal next that next car. So if you just, you know, think of them a little bit different way, you can find out that they have great information. They can help you find the vehicle that's going to make you happy, and that's what you really want, right? Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Sportsman's Night Out is back, and it's bigger than ever. This year, it's a new date and more giveaways than ever before. You could win a brand new camper, a four-wheeler, a side-by-side, hunting trips, fishing gear, and even a brand new car. It all goes down September 11th at the Pensacola Bay Center. Tickets? Just 10 bucks. But don't wait. They will sell out. Grab yours now at sportsmansnightout.com. Sportsman's Night Out, September 11th. Presented by Carpenter's Campers, Parrish Tractor, Penton's Auto Trim, Sandy Sansing Automotive, and Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel Tuesday at 10 when Brittany Hughes from Parks and Recreation will be on the show. She'll be discussing summer camps, where they're located, the cost, and how you can apply for a scholarship for your child to attend. She'll also cover deadlines to register, how to register, and will be available for you to call or text in with your questions during the show.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
How about dinner? I know this little out-of-the-way place that serves great Viking food.
Public Enemy songs that Andrew knows all the words to. I'll take Burn Hollywood Burn for $500. 552 here on News Radio 92.3.
Oh, my goodness. I'll take for $500.
Yeah, funny story. So we here at News Radio in Cat Country, every year we do a Christmas party.
Right.
And as you know, John, I'm telling them, but the Christmas party typically ends with karaoke. And
yes.
I think it was either my first or my second year here, and I had not done karaoke the first year, and the second year, I'll do karaoke. And so I get up there, and I did Burn Hollywood Burn.
They're like,
let's just say not everybody was sure what was happening to them.
Leave it to Andrew.
Yep. I may have overstepped a little, you know, a little early in the relationship. Oh, well. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
I wish I would have seen that.
Me too.
Honestly.
You want to go see a movie? It'll take a black one to move me. All right. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Toxic gas could be to blame for six deaths at a dairy in Colorado. Officials in Weld County, just north of Denver, say the victims were likely exposed in a confined space on Wednesday. Three other people were also treated at a hospital and released. An investigation is ongoing in that case. The U.S. is halting employment visas for commercial truck drivers. This is part of Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy's push to enforce English proficiency standards on truck drivers. An announcement on that was made yesterday.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We talked about this a couple of months ago, how the Trump administration did not create these standards. They just decided they were going to enforce them, which, of course, a lot of people assume, well, Trump is the one forcing English on these truckers. No, they need to know English so they can interact with police, read road signs. I mean, you have to know enough English to be capable of effectively driving on our roads. And I mean, this case really shows that. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Well, and final story here, since we're in the hip-hop kind of mood today.
Grammy, we sure are.
Grammy Award-winning musician Lil Nas X apparently in trouble with the law after being arrested in Studio City, California. I've been in a valley, you ain't
been up off that porch now. The singer, whose real name is Montero Lamar Hill, was arrested on Thursday morning and was later hospitalized for a possible overdose. The Los Angeles Police Department confirms officers responded to reports of a nude man walking in the street. A video first posted by TMZ shows Hill, known for the song Old Town Road, strutting down Ventura Boulevard in only underwear and cowboy boots. He was arrested after allegedly charging at arriving officers. I'm Daniel Martindale.
He's just going to shoot a video.
Exactly.
Have you seen how he dresses?
Who among us has not ventured onto the street in just their cowboy boots and their hat? Well,
and their underwear.
You have?
I've been to Palafox at night. You don't even stand out.
No, you just blend right in.
All right, David, thanks so much for the end. I guess that really was an old town road. Okay, it's
there
not
you
even,
go.
I'm sorry. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. Even I am amazed at the Cracker Barrel reaction. Have you seen that? John, I know you've been out of service for a while. Have you seen Cracker Barrel's redone their logo?
No.
Oh, I get to be the one to ruin life for you.
Oh no.
Okay, hold on just a second. I gotta pull it up because I don't have it right in front of me. Hold on. You're gonna think this is amazing. Okay, because it's possible this may show up in the Transgressor service. So here, okay, I'm showing John, and for those of you who have seen it, this is the old logo.
Okay.
Right? That's the new logo.
No. No, why?
Exactly.
Why did they have to mess with it?
They got rid of Herschel, Uncle Herschel.
Yes.
They got rid of the barrel. They got rid of the... It's not a rocking chair. A lot of people think it's a rocking chair, but if you look, it's a four-leg chair. But it's still the kind of chair they sell.
Yep.
It says Old Country Store. It's all the things. It's distinctive. It's iconographic. It's visually recognizable. And what they've put up there is this completely... Basically like a four-year-old asked AI to make them a logo for Cracker Barrel, and this is what you got. And
I was thinking three-year-old. But.
Yeah. So the reaction has been universally negative. They lost $100 million in market value yesterday.
Really? That much?
Yeah. Now, I think their market cap is like $1.5 billion. It's very small for a restaurant chain. But their stock dropped 7%. It had been down even more than that. It had actually been down $200 million, and it kind of rebounded a little bit. But the reaction by everybody on Wall Street was, what have they done? They killed their brand.
I mean, are you being serious about this?
No, it's 100%. This is not a gag. Oh. And what's amazing is that so all of the conservatives all think this is some big woke thing, which I don't really see it as that. I just see it as, you know, brand incompetence. But all of the people who are sick of brands getting ruined are angry. And then even the liberals are also angry. They think this is ridiculous. Gavin Newsom attacked them for this yesterday and, you know, could not believe it. And oh, yeah, no, it's I'm trying to pull it up now. I don't have it right in front of me. Let me see if I can grab it. You got people putting up like the only thing that can save Cracker Barrel now. And it's a picture of Sidney Sweeney in a Cracker Barrel T-shirt.
What about the jeans?
Cracker Barrel says our values haven't changed. The heart of the soul of Cracker Barrel hasn't changed. And Uncle Herschel remains front and center in our restaurants and on our menu. He's the face of the Herschel way, the foundation of how to... Oh, my God. Stop it. Gavin Newsom, as a way of making fun of Trump, but also, I think, in his own voice, in all caps, what's wrong with Cracker Barrel? Keep your beautiful logo. Keep your beautiful logo. The new one looks like cheap Velveeta cheese from Walmart, the place for groceries, an old-fashioned term. It's a funny dig. Fix it ASAP. Woke is death. Woke is dead. Thank you for your attention to this matter. And then GCN Gavin Newsom. The trolling of Cracker Barrel over this is epic. Even Steak and Shake's official X account trolled them.
No,
for real. Their post was, fire the CEO. Thank you for your attention to this matter. And that's become Trump's phrase of closing his True Social post. And they said, Steak and Shake again, this is what happens when you have a board that does not respect their historical customers or their brand.
Ooh. Ooh,
yeah. Ooh. I mean, accurate. So
that's true. Wow.
Yeah. And then the Democratic Party of Florida retweeted Gavin Newsom's and said the same thing, basically the same. Anyway, so it's amazing. Now, losing a bunch of money, ruining your brand. I see all online people saying they're not going to go back to Cracker Barrel now. Is that true?
I mean, their corn muffins are amazing.
Yeah, I love the... it's been a while since I've been to Cracker Barrel, but, you know, what I would always get would be like the sampler platter of a bunch of different meats and then, you know...
Oh, I need to do that.
Turnip greens and, you know, biscuits and honey and, like you said, the cornbread is fantastic and all that. But anyway, it's possible, that Cracker Barrel and the logo rebrand might make its way into the Transgressive Memorial Service coming up in 15 or 20 minutes. So, yeah, stick around for that. We'll be back in a minute.